Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thanks for joining us. Today, we are again joined by Leslie Appleton Young, the Chief Economist and Vice President of the California Association of Realtors. Leslie, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, my pleasure.
We had just finished talking about the increase in foreclosures, and there was a comment from John Carvall of DataQuick, and he said, this was his quote, "I figured foreclosures would go up. I didn't think they'd go up this fast."
Yeah.
Would it be fair to say that there weren't too many people that saw this downturn coming and to the extent that it's happened very quickly?
You know, I think there were people that did, certainly at the national level. You know, Robert Shiller, who wrote Irrational Exuberance, has been talking about the concerns that he has for the market. The economists at UCLA have had a lot of foreboding for many years. So I guess the question is, you know, timing. You know, when do you get credit for calling a downturn if you call it like many years out? But certainly, you know, I would have to agree with you that there was no one, you know, a year and a half from now giving these exact numbers.
Is there anything that leads you to believe that the worst is over for California at this point?
No, I mean, I think there's more coming. Now, the worst may be over, and I think is over, in terms of the decline in the transactions of existing single-family homes. We dropped between 06 and 05, the market dropped 23.6%. We are expecting a further contraction of transactions by 7% more in 2007, bringing us, I think, slightly below 450,000, something like that, at an annual pace. But you know, we've talked about, you know, distinct regional housing markets in California, and as you look, you know, more inland, look east at areas where there was a significant amount of growth during the boom in new construction, that is, I think, the area and where the availability of homes at a significantly lower median home price than you saw in, you know, the San Franciscos and LAs, for example. I think those are the regions where we're going to have a workout of a couple of years as that new product gets absorbed. Of course, the good news underlying all of this is that we do have reasonable economic growth and job creation, and the mortgage rate environment remains fairly attractive. But when you have a market that's been fueled by double-digit price appreciation and all of the interest that generates, and all of the investor interest that generates, and all of a sudden that goes away, you're going to hit some rough spots, and that's what we're heading into. So I don't think the worst is over, certainly for the inland areas of California.
The number of sales that you quote, does that come from DataQuick?
No, that's our data. And the DataQuick data includes typically new housing, and our data is just single-family detached.
Were you aware that DataQuick's figures also include trustee sales that revert to the lender, and they count those as sales?
Yeah, right. Anything that has a title transfer.
Okay.
Is included in because that's the data that they're using, the county recorder's office data.
Okay. Well, that would seem to skew the numbers higher than they really are, and maybe the median price as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I just noticed there was a brochure, and there was a news in the newspaper and also on TV. There's a 300-house auction coming up in May, all REOs. This type of this is the first time in this go-around we've had such a large auction.
Where is that located?
It's going to be in three different locations. It has inventory from Ventura, Orange County, L.A., or San Bernardino and Riverside.
Okay, so all of SoCal.
Yes.
Yeah.
When customers see this type of inventory going up for sale and builders are starting to do some auctions in scattered cases, does this affect the realtor's ability to get people to make a decision?
I think whenever you have more inventory, the urgency in the market goes down a little bit. You know, people make quicker decisions when there's fewer homes to sell, they've been involved in two or three multiple offer situations already and not gotten the home, so they're ready to act. When there's a lot more to look at, when properties are staying on the market longer, as they are in this situation, in this cycle right now, the urgency factor is minimized. I mean, it's just not there.
That's correct. They don't feel like they're going to miss anything if they wait a little bit.
Yeah, and there's always the chance that they'll benefit if they wait a little bit, and the prices will come down a little bit more.
The lending business obviously has changed in just the last 100 days quite radically. Have you gotten feedback from realtors that they're really kind of frustrated where they're putting homes in escrow, selling them under loan approvals that disappear during the whole process of escrow?
You know, I haven't heard any of that, which doesn't mean it's not going on, but I really, that has not come up in kind of the group of agents around the state that I talk to on a regular basis.
One of my concerns about, and it's great that they're changing some of the rules, I think it's important, but they're sort of locking in the people that have these adjustable loans, the subprime loans, where they're going to have quite a payment increase. And if they don't have equity and the loan program no longer exists, I don't think we've seen the end of the increase in foreclosures because of that.
No, I could not agree more.
Okay. There's a number of categories that are, we always see them in the newspaper, and I'd like to have you listen to these and kind of give us your input. I'm going to mention probably 15 categories if we have time, and I'd like you to rate them as to their importance to the future of real estate in California. So 10 being most important, 1 being least important. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Affordability increasing from the current levels?
8.
8, okay. And you can do some explaining if you want on any of these. That's fine.
Okay. It's just hard to rate them. I'm going to do the best I can because I guess I'm rating them relative to each other, and
no.
I don't know what the others are.
No. Don't do it. No.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Just standalone category. So
got it.
Affordability you would consider pretty important.
Yes.
Going up. Okay. Foreclosures staying at or near record levels?
10.
Okay. So that's a very important. And why is that? Is it because it creates that have-to-sell inventory?
Yeah. I mean, I think it affects the whole market.
Okay.
You know, there certainly is an equilibrium level of foreclosures, but foreclosures are a reflection of distress in the market, right? The people that thought they were going to be able to stay in were unable to afford it, or investor activity that got ahead of the market.
That's a big part of this. That volume has disappeared because if prices aren't going up in California, they're not really likely to cash flow.
Right.
There's probably a new word that many of the realtors never thought they'd ever hear, or the ones that knew of it wish they didn't have to hear again, and that's the word short sale. Is that being part of the volume that realtors are, you know, they're getting more and more of those types of transactions?
Yes, and because we have so many new members who have only been in the industry in the years where housing has been booming, there's a lot of educational courses going on now on what a short sale is and how to go forward in a transaction when there is a short sale. Now, realtors that have been around for a while remember how to do this. we did them in past cycles, but I certainly have heard of the local associations in particular who do a great job with education, providing information as well as the brokers.
There's a big advantage in having experience to where you realize that you can make money in any market. You just have to do the right thing.
Well, one of the things I like to say when I speak is that there will be enough sales in your market area for this to be your best year ever. So don't take my economic outlook as an excuse for not having a great year, because there's all these people that are going to have to move. You know, even when the market slows down, people's, you know, job changes, their family structure changes, whatever it might be, they need more, they need the help of a realtor. So what can you do to be that realtor?
Mm-hmm. How about migration going flat or negative in numbers for California?
Well, You know, one of the things that we do at CAR is we keep what we call our county economic profiles, which is a subscription that we offer for 25 or 26 counties around the state. So it's a pretty good look at what's going on. And some of the data that we use is kind of looking at the population change in a certain county, and we compare the net in-migration from other areas in the United States, including other counties in California, versus the foreign net foreign in-migration coming in from outside. And I guess I can only generalize by saying it's really different depending on where you look. You know, in Los Angeles, you've got a tremendous, you know, we've got a tremendous inflow from overseas that balances out domestic outflow, and you have that in a number of areas, whereas there are more kind of inland rural counties where they're getting in migration. I'm just thinking, for example, of Placer and El Dorado County, which are more kind of you know, second home or retirement areas. There's not only kind of a very small international inflow, but there's a large domestic migration going in. So it kind of mirrors, to a certain extent, the overall demographics of the nation. You know, the fact that you have this big bulge of baby boomers, you know, in their 50s that is actually experiencing the largest single wealth transfer, you know, from their parents that saved, and they need it because they're the generation that that's spending. And I think one of the things that we, you know, need to also think about when we talk about affordability is the extent to which the gain in equity that has been enjoyed by that generation is being transferred to their children with parents helping their kids get into housing utilizing the equity that they've built up. So it's kind of interesting to see how that is flattening the playing field maybe just a little bit for some lucky kids.
Okay, getting back to the number, if migration were to go negative, would you consider that a big event in California like it did in, say, 93, 4, 5?
I would maybe put that as a 6.
Okay. All right. What about tighter lending standards?
I think that's an 8, and I think it's a good idea.
Yes.
I think that it is long, long overdue, and as important as the whole issue of home ownership is, you don't want people to get into homes that can't stay in them.
No, because then they have a very bad taste in their mouth. We have excessive inventory. They also have ruined credit for quite a while. So it doesn't really
help. It's not good
help.
For all
It doesn't
theory,
help
yes.
getting a whole bunch of people in that should not have been in there in the first place.
Right.
What about interest rates, let's say, going down from here? How would you rate that as an important thing?
I would say a 7, and the reason I'm not putting it as a 10 is that the price appreciation of the last 4 or 5 years has been so dramatic, and, you know, I think you noted earlier that prices are pretty sticky going down, you know, when you have an expanding economy. So I think lower rates are always welcome, but I don't think they solve the affordability problem given how high prices are.
No, that's correct. What about increasing inventory for sale in the MLS beyond the current levels that are already over the normal average?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Increasing inventory in the MLS.
Oh, I see. Increasing number of homes for sale.
Even beyond where we're at, which is already over the normal average.
Yeah, I would say 9.
Okay, that's very important then.
Yes.
An area's employment being stable?
10.
Okay.
I think that's very important.
Now, do you expect that California will pretty much come out unscathed, even though the builders are building a lot less homes?
In terms of our overall employment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're growing slower than we would have because of the contraction in the housing industry. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still growing. And most economists will tell you that GDP, national GDP, was about 1% higher than it would have been because of the explosion in housing in 03, 04, and 05. And over the next couple of years, it's going to be pulled back by a similar amount because of the contraction in the housing industry. So I don't know if unscathed is the right word, but certainly the strength in other sectors, including Silicon Valley, by the way, that keeps rising like a phoenix, you know, and reinventing itself every 10 years or so, is filling in the slack there.
Okay. On a national picture, a number of statistics, do you view the national budget deficits as having any impact on California real estate?
I would put that as a 5.
Okay. What about high trade imbalances?
I would put that as a 5. And what I mean by that is not critical short-term, very critical long-term.
Okay. Now, would that also encompass the future, I suppose, debt that we have coming up for Social Security and Medicare payments?
I think all of those, and also the pension funds.
Exactly.
I think I would put myself in the camp of economists who do not expect the low mortgage rate environment of today to be around, you know, 10 years from now.
Okay.
I think the fact that the central banks around the world, particularly in Asia, are holding so much of our debt right now is helping to keep things, keep rates low, and counting on that to continue forever is probably not a good strategy.
So you would suggest that people get into a fixed rate loan almost 100% of the time?
Oh, I think that would be wise, especially with rates being so low. And again, I'm jaded by my perspective, but I remember when you had to negotiate long and hard to get a 14% 30-year mortgage.
Absolutely.
Now, prices were much lower then, too. So I think we have to recognize that the financial services industry has been extremely important in keeping home ownership alive for people with prices so high. You know, there's a reason why people go into these riskier loans. It's not because they want to a lot of the time. It's because they have to, because prices are so high.
Right. It was the only way they could get to play the game.
Right.
What about any future tax law changes? Do you envision anything that could have a negative scenario playing out for real estate?
Well, obviously, the mortgage interest deduction is always something that is on our radar, and there's no doubt that that is a critical component of the calculation on affordability. So if that were restricted or eliminated, I think it would definitely impact the market.
There are some proposals in. They're not maybe on the front page right now, but there are some proposals due to, what is it called, where the other type of tax kicks in for a higher and higher percentage.
Oh, alternative minimum tax.
Yeah, the alternative minimum tax. So that was why the question was posed, because it seems that real estate has such benefits, you know, the 1031 exchange and the $500,000 resale. It just looks like somebody, if they need to find a new pocket of money, would look toward real estate somehow.
Yeah, it's tough, because when you look at the budget, all you've got left is sacred cows.
Exactly.
You know, you've got Medicare, Social Security, you've got the mortgage interest deduction, which is a very significant tax expenditure, if you will. So you really get into issues, areas where it's very, very sensitive to some huge, huge group. And obviously, homeowners are a huge group.
Would you rate that as what number then? If in fact,
9.
A 9. Okay. So we've had a lot of very high numbers. So there's a lot of important things. What about, again, the world situation where an oil embargo might take place and oil really crank up in price, and that might force the Fed to now fight inflation? But the oil world in general, do you view that connection to California real estate at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's related to real estate and California real estate and the overall economy. So I would maybe give that a 7.
Okay. We've got about 4.5 minutes left. So let's talk about some of the things that maybe could be done that would help. There's a bill in Congress right now. It's H.R. 3043, and what it's supposed to be doing is getting the FHA program to raise their loan limits to be equal to Fannie Mae,
right,
and also be a zero down program. Do you view that as a very important step?
Very important. Now, the FHA has not been as relevant in California in recent years because of the rapid run-up in prices, and anything that can be done to kind of bring that bring that benefit to California would be wonderful. I mean, the median home price in California this year we're expecting to be $550,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough.
Well, FHA was dwarfed by subprime nationally. FHA did about 1/8 of the loans that subprime did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be a big help, especially if you're trying to replace the subprime loan. What it
right.
did was provide a chance for people without money to buy a property, but it's set up for failure because you didn't have a PITI payment, no taxes and insurance, and they were usually adjustable loan payments, and that was a big mistake.
Right. No, I mean, we've been very active at our association working with NAR in Washington to get these changes in FHA and also give California the high-cost status with the GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that Hawaii and Alaska enjoy, because it would make a difference.
Absolutely. There's a couple of other things from an investor perspective that I really think would help California avert a much bigger problem. There's I would suspend the due-on-sale clause for lenders. I would actually, years ago, we've been around long enough to remember where FHA, when you had an FHA loan, you could transfer ownership of that property to somebody, and they would pay, what, a $35 or $45 fee?
Right.
They could take the ownership of the property into a corporation, and literally no one had any risk to their credit. And I even though that may sound like a dangerous proposition, if you eliminated the due-on-sale clause just on the properties in foreclosure, you would end up having a lot of people come in to buy and occupy those properties, or investors take them over just because they didn't have to qualify and the interest rates were so good. So I'm hoping that the lenders would take a look at that. I don't see any downside risk for them. The other thing is, are you familiar at all with the California Civil Code that deals with foreclosure, 1695?
No.
Well, the agents, the agents are not allowed to represent an investor in a foreclosure transaction. There's a bond that they have to get for twice the value of the property, and you cannot get the bond. And so there's a lot of properties that might be sold to investors that really agents are afraid to even go into the transaction.
Uh-huh.
So there's entire groups, let's say REMAX. So all of REMAX has basically said, just forget that transaction.
Right.
And that's a mistake.
Yeah.
The laws were written by lawyers, not realizing what the impact that might have in the marketplace.
Yeah, good point.
There's also a couple of programs that would be helpful. There's a federal tax program, an MCC program.
Yes.
That's a very important program that could use more funding, as well as each city. They have the down payment assistance programs, but a lot of times their median price is at yesterday's price.
Right.
And so,
right, which is the problem with all of those programs, which are great, but the price appreciation has just taken hold and made them, you know, really hampered their ability to help.
Who would be the people to talk to get some of this these types of things to be considered?
Well, I think for the MCC program, it would be CHAFA up in Sacramento. In fact, you know, I started at the California Association of Realtors in 1984, and I remember one of the first background papers I wrote was about mortgage credit certificates. So it was funny when you mentioned that. It really took me back. So I think that's where the conversation really needs to start, up in Sacramento. And it's just, unfortunately, there are budget issues with education and so many other things that it's really hard to get everybody to agree on the priorities, and everything costs a little bit of money.
Well, when California starts experiencing about 80,000 trustee sales, it'll become a priority, but
yes,
the
exactly.
solution will
but
be
not
to
until then.
Leslie, we're out of time. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I know you haven't felt well for the hour, but
it's been my pleasure.
You were
a trooper. Yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590 KTIE.